The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Lemon fizzy water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled, see, in trouble.
From the driest of American deserts to tropical Amazon rainforests to the Housatonic River, Housie for short, today's guest is coming back for the second straight episode, Robert Heinzman, a Yale School of Environment grad, a managing partner at Growth River, and a member of the PCB Advisory Committee in Lee, Massachusetts. Robert is bringing big picture science, leading the charge on bringing PCB bioremediation into the Housatonic River Valley. I'm Leslie Gabriel, your super waterman and water ambassador of And So It Flows, bringing rock and roll water culture from 89.7 WTBR FM in the Berkshires to all around our big planet. Stay tuned.
Of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Welcome back to And So It Flows on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 in Lee, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your super waterman, Leslie Gabriel, your ambassador for water. And today, in today's show, we're opening today with Hootie and the Blowfish, joined by Willie Nelson, live at Farm Aid in 1995, performing Let Her Cry. It's a powerful moment that reminds us how music, farming, and the land all share the same essential need for fresh water. If you love what we do, like, subscribe, and share with your water-loving friends. It really helps water help you.
Sitting on my elbows, trying to find a thought that escaped my mind. She says there's a water I love the more. Snap, snap, fall behind. He never lets me in. Hold her down for where she's been. She's had too much to drink. I said I don't care. I just run my hands through a dark hair. Then I pray to God, you gotta help me fly away. And just let her cry. If a dear Lord have I read, let her sing. If it either all her pain, let her go. Let her walk right out on me. Sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. I wanted to look for you walking. I didn't notice what I should do. So I sat back down and had a beer and felt sorry for myself and let her cry. If a dear Lord have I read, let her sing. If it either or her fear, let her go. Right out on me. And when the sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. Let her be. I crying out on me. The sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. Last night I tried to leave, cried so much I could not believe. She was the same girl I fell in love with long ago. She went in the back to get high, I sat down on my couch and cried yelling, oh mama, please help me. Won't you hold my hand and let her cry. Give all that worry, let her sing. If we want her pain, let her know. Let her walk right out on me. And when the sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. Let her cry. If the tears let her see. Let her eat it all her pain. Let her go. Let her walk right out on me. When the sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. Oh, let her be.
Mr. Willie Nelson.
Masterpiece. Hey. 10 bad babs and they after me.
Bad.
One bad bad look like a masterpiece. Looking for a dunk like an athlete. Big drip, what you call it?
Big drip.
Ice chain, peeled water.
Ice.
You got the cab, but can't afford them.
Cash.
You got the bad, but can't afford them.
Big.
Give me the beat, I ride it like a jet ski.
Hey.
So many bad bad, they harassing me.
Bad.
They like me cause I rap and be with the athletes. Stop asking me, I know they mad at me.
Nah.
Hop in the coupe, then I slide like it's Vaseline. West Coast 6, 4 jump like a trampoline. Take a brick out, put it on the triple beam. I'm not from Canada, but I see a lot of teams. Dismantle her, I know how to handle her. Light the candle up, make you put a banner up. Toss a 50 up, make them tie the club up. Took your bitch out the game, I had to sub her.
Swap.
No masterpiece. 10 bad babs and they after me. One bad bad look like a masterpiece. Looking for a dunk like an athlete. Big drip, what you call it?
Big drip.
Ice chain, peeled water.
Ice.
You got the cab, but can't afford it.
Cash.
You got the bad, but can't afford it.
Pick the name, easy, make her open up and eat it. Stars in the ceiling, and my seats, they Tempur-Pedic. I see them up with watching, and they plotting, trying to sneak me. I can't hear the thought, can't trust the thought, they telling secrets. Big back, take, look back, little new. Catch them down bad, and nigga can cry a whole river. Knock on my back, I'm taking care of the whole village. Somebody got shot, what you talking about, Willis? In the lobby with a brick, a wicked Bobby with your dip. I go Lawrence with the fit, in the Rory with no tent. I'm from the trench, I got the dirty money rent. He was popping, so I popped and prayed to God repent.
No masterpiece. 10 bad babs and they after me. One bad bad look like a masterpiece. Looking for a dunk like an athlete. Big drip, what you call it?
Big drip.
Ice chain, peeled water.
Ice.
You got the cab, but can't afford them.
Cash.
You got the bad, but can't afford them.
Take off. No limit to the money.
Nah.
I picked the gang up, took a flight across the country.
Where?
I took the waitress, told her to keep the ones coming. Hit the store to get some backwoods and left the rape running. Looking like they blind, but we already on it. In the left with Celine, like that bag that she wanted. A lot of teams, busting out them jeans, make you want it. Make you wanna spend a 50 and hit the scene with a donut. Whole team full of queens, gotta keep their eyes on them. Snake in the sky, probably wanna slide on them. I bet they ride on them when I put that prize on them. 10 bad, bad, okay, though, got five of them.
No masterpiece.
Hey.
10 bad babs and they after me.
Bang.
One bad bad look like a masterpiece. Looking for a dunk like an athlete. Big drip, what you call it?
Big drip.
Ice chain, peeled water.
Ice.
You got the cab, but can't afford them.
Cash.
You got the bad, but can't afford them.
Two step. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Two step. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Two step. Oh yeah.
night.
Just treading water. Always dipping one toe in, but I don't go farther. No visions of Atlantis, I won't risk my safe answer. You know the shoreline is my lifeline, where I'm sure I'm never gonna drown. But suddenly fooling me way down below the surface. No deep breath in, but down I swim, and I'm not even nervous. It's his eyes, they tell me what I'm thinking. Then he smiles, and I'm sinking deeper. Weightless and free, and everything I thought I knew drifts off into the sea. Ooh. And suddenly he's in my head and heart, under my skin, and I know every love before will now seem shallow next. Seems so easy, and the waves wash over me, and I hear my own voice saying to take me deeper, like a drop in the ocean, into peace and devotion, till my heart rushes open and he's in my blood, into the salt and the fire. I never knew this desire. Oh, but once I'm a diver, I won't come back up. How far can I go? How deep is this soul? I didn't know until this. Somehow you let me breathe into the way that I'm underneath. This could be the time I finally go deeper. And devotion till my heart rushes open, and he's in my blood, into the soul and the fire. I never knew this desire. Take me down, take me higher, make it feel like.
Hey, welcome back to And So It Flows. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water, and we got some water news coming straight from the Berkshire Eagle. This is about a week ago, and then there's some additional news coming from the Berkshire Edge, which follows up on this. This is in the town of Great Barrington, number one town in America, according to some. For nearly a year, Housatonic Water Works, a company, a private company, told state regulators it was unlikely to meet a deadline to install a filtration system for its chronically discolored water. In an article which was called Housatonic Water Works Warned the Mass DEP, Department of Environmental Protection, it was falling behind. Now Great Barrington wants action, the town. In this meeting, a Housatonic resident by the name of Maureen Quigley held up a bottle of water collected from her home, which shows the kind of brown water that people are being subjected to. The delay was known about, but it wasn't until 5 days ago before the deadline that the state urged the company to speed up construction when it was already too late. The delay has since resulted in $6,000 in fines, while the project's completion is now projected for fall of 2026, and Great Barrington officials are calling for stronger state intervention. A review of more than 180 public records shows Housatonic Water Works repeatedly warned state regulators that it was falling behind on a required manganese filtration project months before the June 1st deadline it ultimately missed. Despite those warnings, the records show little written communication from the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection documenting efforts to get the project back on schedule. Last summer, this past summer, the state and Housatonic Water Works agreed that the company would install a filtration by March 1st of 2026, which was later extended to June 1st, or face fines of up to $500 a day and a reinstatement of a previous $12,360 penalty. Complaints about the color of water for Housatonic Water Works' 800-plus customers go back nearly a century, with state intervention first beginning in 1911, when the State Board of Health first notified the company that filtration was needed. Monthly reports repeatedly attributed delays to factors outside the company's control, including litigation, financing, and getting equipment. But even after the litigation was resolved, the project continued to fall behind, with the company citing an inability to make up for lost time. Repeated warnings. When asked how the department was monitoring progress, a Mass DEP spokesperson said it held weekly calls with the company and inspected the construction site every other week, but the department didn't say whether it took any action or issued warnings. Even in the first report in August 2025, when all deadlines were met, the company said ongoing litigation would likely impact the schedule. But by the second monthly report, many deadlines were changed to TBD, to be determined, and remained that way for months. The report recycled entire paragraphs, delay explanations, and work descriptions, and often only changing the name of the month in a few lines. By October of 2025, the deadline was no longer realistic, and by December, the company said it would be requesting an extension to August 1st, 2026. So, this ongoing thing, we're talking about this article from the Berkshire Eagle, which you can find online. The article is Housatonic Water Works warned the Mass DEP it was falling behind, and that was written by Talia Lissauer of the Berkshire Eagle just a few days ago. And then from the Berkshire Edge, pylon going on now. Attorney General files to intervene in Department of Public Utilities, DPU's valuation process for Housatonic Water Works. The Department of Public Utilities began the valuation process in July. This article was by Shaw Israel Isaacson, September 4th, 2026, in Great Barrington. In a filing published on the state attorney's state's website, Attorney General Andrea Joy Campbell filed a notice of intervention and a request for adjudication in the valuation process for Housatonic Water Works. The filing was made with the Department of Public Utilities on Thursday, September 3rd. In July, the Department of Public Utilities started the valuation process after the town and company jointly filed a petition in April with the State Supreme Judicial Court to initiate a formal determination on the cost of the Housatonic water system. The September 3rd filing states that the Attorney General requests Department of Public Utilities fully investigate the propriety of any rate changes, tariff amendments, and other requests made by in any petitions filed in the case via an administrative adjudication. Such formal investigation should provide a full procedural schedule with opportunity for discovery, submission of testimony, evidentiary hearings, and a submission of briefs as warranted, and should comply with all other requirements. That's only a couple days ago. We had another thing going on too, and this is from a website by the name of Water Celebration. And what we're talking about is let's see if we could find it right now. I'm going to do that right now. This is live as we're doing it. But Housatonic is actually in the middle of what's going on around the country. And in this particular article, it's kind of like the predatory logic of privatization. In this crisis, this water crisis around water infrastructure, in the small village of Housatonic, it's at the tip of the water privatization aging water infrastructure spear and is served by Housatonic Water Works, as we were just discussing. And what's going on here is the ongoing Housatonic Waterworks crisis is the direct result of crumbling physical infrastructure, mismanaged operation, and a legacy of empty regulatory promises. So if you look at the company, it currently estimates it requires roughly $4.5 million in capital improvement. Now, that's just one tiny little town, village. Just imagine if you take that around the country, you're looking at billions, if not trillions, of dollars in infrastructure that needs some capital improvement. And this is part of the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness part of the preamble to the Constitution and or the Bill of Rights. I get those mixed up every now and then. But this is some water news right up in our faces all around the country, starting right here in the Berkshires to all around the world. So if you're listening from far away, let's say Texas or Colombia in South America, what there is to do is to make sure our water infrastructure works so that way human beings are given the opportunity to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness here and around the world. You're with And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you, and stay tuned for more.
Water sucks. Gatorade is better.
What?
Use it on the field. Gatorade not only quenches your thirst better, it tastes better too, idiot.
You're drinking the wrong water.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks.
No,
it really, really sucks. You don't mean it.
You're bad people.
To And So It Flows on WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, where water gets loud, water music, water culture, comedy, poetry, deep water conversations. I'm Leslie Gabriel, your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. Find us on Apple, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, and anywhere you get your podcast. We've got some more music coming your way. Super psyched to be with you. And stay tuned. Love your H2O.
You say your heart's been turned to stone. You say you wanna be left alone. You say love only made you weep and moan. Let me tell you something that you know in your bones.
Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the power that won't be stopped. Love is the water that wears down the rock.
You say your soul's like a dry riverbed. Stop waiting for the water long ago, you said. You better pray all night for the rain instead. Life comes like a tidal wave over your head.
Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the power that won't be stopped. Love is the water that wears down the rock.
You say waiting for love takes too long. Dulls a sharp mind, weakens the strong. Well, you may be right, but you may be wrong. 'Cause life can make a mountain come tumbling down.
Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the power that won't be stopped. Love is the water that wears down the rock.
The river washes over every woman and man. Feet in the gravel and mud in your hands. Nothing can stand against love's command. Every bone
that turns into a grain of sand. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the power that won't be stopped. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the water that wears down the rock. Love is the power that won't be stopped. Love is the water that wears down the rock.
better build yourself a limit deep inside. You gotta build yourself a very deep inside. Don't go walking by the riverside alone in the pale moonlight. Come up upon you, girl, with no earthly body in sight. Come up upon you, girl, and he'll whisper something sweet and take you with. Build yourself a limit deep inside. Better build yourself a limit.
Welcome back. This is Leslie Gabriel, your super waterman and ambassador for water here on And So It Flows, the rock and roll podcast for water, broadcast at 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio and going out all around the big blue planet on a podcastosphere, new word, which means anywhere you get your podcast. We're picking right back up with part two of our series on bioremediation called Healing the Housatonic River, Bioremediation on the Front Lines. And I am so grateful to have Robert Heinzman back with us as we continue exploring how nature heals our water. Let's dive in. Welcome back. We're with And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your super waterman, ambassador for water. We're sitting on the shores of Woods Pond right behind me. I'm here with Bob Heinzman, Robert Heinzman. He's on the PCB advisory committee for the town of Lee. And Woods Pond happens to be one of the most polluted ponds in this part of the world, filled with PCBs, and excited to have you for a second half of the same. We're creating two episodes out of this presentation.
Great.
So
let's go into you. In the previous episode, you started talking about bioremediation and the value of doing on-site remediation. And why don't we speak to the stuff that you were just going into? How easy is it to create the kind of bacteria that will actually eat the PCBs, many of them?
It's simple. In fact, most of our food industry and our kitchens, we and refrigeration and boiling water, etc., is to defend against creating bacteria because they create themselves very easily, and all they need is a little water and a little bit of sugar and or energy, and they can replicate, and then you can create a bacteria-rich solution. And it's on the website, on their website. You can actually go to it, and then they run the activated carbon pellets that they are going to use to immobilize PCB molecules, as we discussed in the last episode. And they just run it through a sprinkler system, and they saturate them with this bacteria-rich water. And then they dump that in the lake.
So that would be considered...
In wherever the location is that they're trying to address.
Is that considered a biochar then? Because it has...
That's biochar.
That's...
Yes. That would be... Well, no, biochar is something a little different. It's charcoal or activated carbon that's created from wood products and other materials. That's what biochar technically refers to. But this would be a biologically amended activated carbon mix. And it's very stated simply, it's activated carbon as a vehicle for transporting the bacteria to the place where you want the bacteria to do their work.
Sure.
This is proven. How well it works is different. It works to different degrees. Depends on a lot of variables that are local, the pH of the water and the chemistry of the water and the nature of the temperatures and et cetera going on. And what we have here is we have the opportunity to test how effective it would be here. Now, this Woods Pond, because it's behind an old paper mill dam, which we can see, it's out of camera, down a few hundred yards down the river. This is actually the river. But because PCBs are heavy, they're an oil and they sink, and they tend to attach themselves to river muck, carbon, and they tend to be immobilized. And for decades, all of the upstream sediments from the GE plant, miles upstream in Pittsfield, where the contamination originated, have all been accumulating behind this dam in Woods Pond. So 40% of the 1.1 million tons, or rather, sorry, 1.1 million metric yards, which is about a little over a million tons, of the contamination that GE has contracted by EPA under law, by the Superfund law, to be heavily penalized if they don't do it right. All of that, 40% of it is here in Woods Pond. So they're gonna dredge this baby out. And the plan is that they're implementing it. They're gonna dredge it out with a hydraulic hose, hydraulic dredging, and pump it up the hill here to where they're building a big lined dump. Just a few hundred yards that way.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions on that dump. And one of the things before I even go there is, what do you think, as a person who works in the field, what do you think would be possible if there was some showing that the use of bioremediation works in Woods Pond? Do you think it will, you know, what
can
do
we,
you...
Can we get rid of it here?
Yeah.
Without taking it out?
No, maybe not even that. Maybe when they're putting on as what's called the sedimite, the carbon, and if they added the microbes to it and...
They saturate
And the, saturate it.
Yeah.
And it proves that it gets rid of 50 to 80% before you even dredge it. What do you think that will show for our area? I mean, will that perhaps catapult a whole new business into the world, of business?
Well, there are businesses that actually do that. In fact, the businesses that produce the bacteria and the business that produces these activated carbon capsules, it's called sedimite is the brand name.
Yep.
From what I've been told, they're carbon with a mixture in a matrix of concrete. You give them weights, so they sink, and they stay relatively, they don't get pushed around by the flow of the river too much. There are companies, there's two companies, one that produces bacteria, one that produces the sedimite, and you know, there are other players in the field though, and if you were to do this at scale and prove that you had a viable solution, you actually could address, again, PCBs are everywhere. And
yeah, the demand for cleanup is...
It ain't going anywhere.
It's there. It's like seeing millions of cars without tires. Someone would come around and say, hey, you want to buy a tire? And that the demand is already built in.
Right, that's a good analogy. I mean, look, post-World War II, global society had a big party with petrochemicals, and you know all the pesticides, all of the you know, all the stuff, the green revolution in agriculture. And there are many benefits from it. The PCBs were born of that big growth of the petrochemical industry, right? And we created a hell of a problem for ourselves. And so this is an intergenerational challenge. We're not going to clean it up while you and I are alive. The next few generations are going to have to clean up at the legacy, the toxic legacy of industrialization by humanity on the planet. It's inevitable that we do that. So why aren't PCBs being put into the mix in a well-funded, well-documented, easy-to-study project where EPA has contracted or forced GE to come up with a solution, and they've inked a deal, and they're spending over $500 million to do it, to test how the toxicity of the PCBs can be reduced through the use of bacteria. Now, the issue for the pond here, EPA requires the concentrations of PCBs to be so low, 3.5 parts per million, that it's unlikely, given the high levels of toxicity that are in the muck of this pond right behind us, it's unlikely the bacteria could do the job in place. But they could, since we're building a dump just over the hill here, that's going to be, you should visit this place, it's enormous. It's 13 acres, it's a big hole in the ground. They're going to line it and they're going to fill it with you know, millions of pounds of this muck. They could treat the sediments as they put it into the dump and lower, and probably by half, the PCB concentrations, making the dump less toxic
for
less toxic
good,
for who?
Good.
Less toxic for future generations, because that dump will one day leak. It may be 100 years from now, but one day it'll leak. And we know this. So why not reduce the future risk with a relatively low cost amendment to the process of putting the sediments in there? That's another potential use of the PCBs the bioremediation that isn't really being talked about.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea to be able, let's say the dump is built, okay, and they're building it now, you can hear it in the background, is to use that huge pit and set it up. It's like when you're cooking and you want to have garlic in your food, you put the garlic in first, cook it up, some ginger, put in your food, mix it around, you're going to soak up. So when all that muck or sediment is in, the PCB sediment is already in the dump, to use that huge vat of PCBs and kind of mix in the bacteria
to do their job once you cover it up, and then you've basically got a stew, and you know, you put the ginger in before the garlic. That's a technique. That's the idea. Is they're going to layer this in one layer at a time, 1 foot layers over this 13.
But then again, if they show that you could reduce the toxicity, and you know they're taking so many things now. Let's just say another big business in our region is cannabis. Cannabis has been shown to increase in its amount of THC. I don't know the value of that other than stay away, but they can do that. They can do that also with the bacteria and make it more powerful to perhaps over time reduce it even further than 50% to 60%.
More research can be done on the bacteria, because there's different stages in the bacterial life cycle, and there's also the bacteria, because they breed so quickly, they breed and die so quickly. They also evolve to their environment. They're very adaptive. That's why we don't even know this. There's probably the most common species on the planet. It's also the species that has been here the longest. These are the first animals. The bacteria, the opportunity is to study and understand how to best add a bioremediation solution to the suite of solutions that are required to really reduce the toxicity of the PCBs in the environment, and therefore in the food chain, and therefore also coming into human beings. And so, they're not. So again, this brings me back to my earlier point about just being kind of flummoxed. Why so obviously heralded a discussion? The other thing, here's how heralded it is. We're in Region 1 of EPA. EPA is split up. There's Region 1, 2, 3, 4, and the different parts of the country. Region 1 is the Northeast. They've got 125, 130 Superfund sites. This is the biggest of all the Superfund sites in the Northeast, the legacy of post-industrial America, right? And In other regions, they're using bioremediation. In this region, region one, headquartered in Boston,
that GE invented.
They're not using they're not using bioremediation as part, again, of their solution set. It's not a magic bullet, but it's part of the strategy that you would balance the cost versus benefit and decide, you know what, this is going to get us a better outcome.
Exactly.
PCBs are hard to get rid of.
It makes a lot of sense. Sitting here with Robert Heinzman from the PCB Advisory Committee for the town of Lee. We're sitting on the shores of a Woods Pond on the banks of the Housatonic River next to a dam. I'm not sure what the name of that dam is. We're discussing different things regarding PCBs. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. Share, like, subscribe with all your water-loving friends. So back to this moment. This moment is one of the things my father taught me. He was involved in lots of really cool things. But one of the things he taught me was pay attention to the process that's happening in the world of business. And one of the things I came across with this geek knowledge was Kodak actually invented the digital camera.
They did, true story.
True story. And what the, you know, then smart leaders of the of that company said, well, Kodak said, well, this isn't going to amount to anything. And then you want to look at Kodak now.
Yeah, or Kodak. As you're driving down I-90, you pass Rochester, and you see all of the empty parking lots around the Kodak campus.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There might be a few offices that are doing some kind of film developing in different parts of the country. I know one in New York. However, they miss the boat. And same I see now with General Electric. They had GE Labs. They had Donna Bedard, part of the Bedard family of auto salespeople. Same family, who then goes on to RPI, which is our regional MIT, which is a big polytech institute. And she goes there, her stuff is written up, but what GE does is shuts down, GE Labs shuts down the work on the possibility of bioremediation. Now, given this pushback by you and others on the PCB committee and the pushback from Lee, could this not be the time, in your opinion, that they rediscover the discovery they had?
you're too kind. There's a reason at General Electric why they are not considering bioremediation, and I don't know what it is. There's a reason at EPA Region 1 why they're ignoring bioremediation as part of the integrated toolkit to reduce PCB contamination in the Housatonic River Valley, and I don't know why that is. Because these are smart people. These are environmental engineers. They have PhDs. They read the papers. They go to the conferences. They understand the issues. And for some reason, they have pretty much categorically ignored the role that bioremediation can play. And I've asked them point blank, and I haven't really got a satisfactory answer.
I went to one of their presentations in... I went to a couple, but the last one, after reading up on Donna Bedard... I went to the presentation in Pittsfield. I think it was at the Pittsfield Athenaeum, also known as a library. And I'll get back to you on why do we have to call it an Athenaeum. With that said, I was going up to folks and said, what about Donna? What about Donna Bedard? What about that? And they, you know, gave me like this look of, well, you know, maybe I had, you know, something was going on and they couldn't understand why I would ask such a simple question. I'm flummoxed.
There's a reason, because these are smart people, and they're people who care about what they're doing, and you know, believe it or not, I think many of them are professionals, and they want to do a good job. And they also care about their children, and they know the PCBs need to be dealt with. It's not clear why bioremediation, as I said before, is not part of the solution set. I can say this though, that they are people involved. Because of the input that they received from the town of Lee, and I can't speak for the town, I can speak as a citizen, as a member of the PCB Advisory Committee, we advise the select board on the choices that they take with respect to navigating the fact that there's this enormous dump being put in our town, just over the hill here.
On top of an aquifer.
We can talk about that.
Yeah.
That's controversial.
That'll be on our next episode because that's the next film.
Colloquially, that's controversial. From a scientific perspective, it's not so controversial.
Okay.
PCBs, the problem for the companies that manufactured and spread this stuff around, the problem for them is that dilution was not the solution to pollution. They thought this stuff would wash downstream out into Long Island Sound. And then they found out, oh, crap, it's not very mobile. It likes to sit. It likes to find a place to sit, and it will sit there for decades or centuries. And that's when they realized they had a problem. There's a very famous case where Monsanto discovered this in Bayou, Louisiana. And they were like, oh, crap, we have a problem. It's not diluting into the natural environment.
Wow.
And so, but the position of the town, and I think I can speak for the town in this sense, is why are we not testing bioremediation as part of the vernal pool study? It's just a study. We're going to treat 7 vernal pools with amended carbon, which is with carbon, to see how it affects the sensitive species, the amphibians and the fairy shrimp and all the rest of it, that are unique to those delicate and ecologically fragile ecosystems. Why are we not also testing bioremediation? Because it is a perfect laboratory in the field to find out if there's a there. And as to why they don't do it, the answer has been, well, it wasn't in the contract, but that dog don't bark for me. It's scientifically unsound, and you could argue it's morally bereft.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're going to end on that note, and then you're welcome to come back to the show anytime you want. There's so much stuff there to be able to discuss, but it's, you know, to end on, is it morally bereft to disassociate yourself from the thing that you invented in the first place, which is bioremediation? So with that said, thanks again for joining And So It Flows. Thank you, Robert. One last question. If people want to participate around what Lee is doing, specifically around the PCB advisory committee or anything else, how can they do so? Do you have a way that they can participate?
Yeah, absolutely. We produce a lot of information, and a lot more is coming because the town hall at Lee is a lot of really competent people there. And this is one of the issues that they are very involved with. On the website, go to the Town of Lee website, and you can find the PCB Advisory Committee, and there's a whole website there. There's also an EPA website that is really an update on building the dump, but it's more information is available there. And you can also come to all the PCB Advisory Committee meetings are public,
yep.
And people can attend either virtually, or they can come to the courthouse on the evenings. I think the next meeting's on the 15th of September.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. But the portal for all of it, very simply, is go to the Town of Lee website, and you can find all the information about what's happening.
Yeah, you could also Google PCB Advisory Committee, Lee, Massachusetts. And if you're listening to this in another area of the country, around the world, or watching, find out what's going on around you. There are 1,200-plus Superfund sites around the country, many of them coming from the world of petrochemicals or the military-industrial complex that were using those petrochemicals. Get involved.
Most of them are petrochemicals.
Yeah. Anyway,
go ahead.
Yeah. Get involved. Find out. And put your dog in the fight, because this is about creating livable planets and clean water and healthy people. I think all of those things are really valuable. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Peace out. And love your water. And thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Leslie.
In one of my earliest memories, I am 8 years old, I have a fistful of afternoon, and I am asking the summer if it will always be this glorious. I remember taking a deep breath, trying to get as much July into my lungs as humanly possible, thinking maybe I'd be able to convince it that 31 days just isn't enough. In my neighborhood, owning a slip and slide made you a royal family. In my neighborhood, we'd fill up our super soakers and shoot each other for hours, and if you didn't have one, you were just a target. In my neighborhood. In my neighborhood, we'd run through the sprinklers like someone who wasn't the boss of us said that we couldn't. Back then, the water just seemed endless. Like it didn't have limits and corners and edges. Like no matter where we were, if we called out for water, it would just come running. When I was a kid, dragons and droughts were two things I read about in books but never thought I'd actually have to deal with. I'm born and raised in California, and here, our models and our rivers look like they're both on the same diet. Throughout the years, I've watched both get smaller, and now I can see their ribs when they exhale. In California, our freeways are decorated with signs that ask us to be careful about how we use the water. They hang like an eviction notice from the environment, and I wonder how long it will take the planet to tell us we can't live here and the locks are changed. I wonder how long it'll be before my shower becomes a relic, before my sink tries to change occupations, before the knobs on my faucet become roulette wheels, before my hands rain dance around the spout, hoping a drop will spill from its neck. I wonder if the next generation will know water the same way I did. The way it runs through the fingers, the way it wrinkles the hands, cools the skin, the way it freezes, flakes, and kisses the ground on the cheek. I wonder if my grandkids will ever throw a penny in a fountain and hear it splash. Thank you.
American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware: don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, pollution, we got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud. The halibuts and the sturgeons being wiped out by detergents. Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly, but they don't last long if they try. Pollution, pollution, you can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with industrial waste. Just go out for a breath of air and you'll be ready for Medicare. The city streets are really quite a thrill. If the hoods don't get you, the monoxide will. Pollution, pollution, wear a gas mask and a veil. Then you can breathe long as you don't inhale. Lots of things there that you can drink, but stay away from the kitchen sink. Throw out your breakfast garbage, and I've got a hunch that the folks downstream will drink it for lunch. So go to the city, see the crazy people there, like lambs to the slaughter. They're drinking the water and breathing the air.
Lemon fizzy water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See, in trouble. Water, water. In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.